is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 19th of August, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And we are going to start the show with a very special happy birthday shout out. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Erin, how are you?
I am good, thank you, ma'am. How are you?
I'm just fine. I just have to back off from the audience. Guess what? We're celebrating our community queen this morning.
Yes, ma'am.
She's 110 years old. Mama William. Mama Millie Millicent Robinson.
Mama Millie Millicent Robinson from, from Lawrence Court Yellow Elder.
Lawrence Court Yellow Elder, and she's all
Exuma descendant, is 110 years old today. And happy birthday is coming out from the Yellow Elder Community Association, her daughter Cooley, and her her granddaughter Charmaine.
That's right.
We're going to play a special song for her. Producer, play let's start with the Lenny Williams.
Okay. Love that, Erin. We're having a big thing for her tonight.
Okay.
Ask some person from the community to come and be a part of what's going on here tonight.
Where are we coming?
Become Lauren Court, Yellow Elder.
Okay.
That's first right after you pass Burger King.
Okay. First right after you pass Burger King.
I think it's left into Yellow Elder. Give him a right. I'm so
good. On the highway?
Yeah, from the highway.
All right. So if you're traveling east on Tony William Darling Highway, is the first left once you pass Burger King on your right-hand side.
That's right. And once you turn in, it's another place right just before you reach to the dead end.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, come through and it's right to the very dead end.
Okay. Lawrence Court Yellow Elder, tonight we are all celebrating 110 years with Mama Millicent Mildred Robinson from Lawrence Court Yellow Elder.
That's right. And it's Oma born.
Exuma born. Happy birthday, Mama Mildred.
That's right. And Erin, I just sent you a recording and she's telling you thank you. And if you listen to the conversation, you'll see she isn't missing a beat.
Absolutely.
Factors, everything in place.
Absolutely. But if she don't forget my cake, I ain't gonna forget her gift.
I got you. Okay, Erin, we'll see you later. You take care.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, Mama Mildred Millicent Robinson from the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas, including all 365 plus 7 islands in the archipelago we call the Exumas. Happy birthday.
Rubies and pearls and all the kingdoms of this world I give to her in this song.
And let's continue the happy birthday celebrations. Today we're going to say happy birthday to Fred Roll, to Samira Patawi Johnson, to Kedar Clark, to call birthdays to Christy Hu, Paul Taylor, Noble Al Green, Terry Johnson, Rhonda Seymour, Sakani Nash, Yontale Bo, Nari Strawn, Fabian Bailey Brown, The names continue: Phoebe Cartwright, Kenneth DeLancey, Ebony Hanna, Julian Reed, Sophia Richardson, Sash Guy Brown, Antoine Archer L., Nicolette Bryan, Carmen Leo, Laura Johnson, even Mr. Damien Gomez. Happy birthday, Amun Mad Zulu, Hubert Edwards, Kim Gilbert Wilson, Reno DeVoe Sr., Simone Francis. Even Juan McCartney had a birthday 3 days ago. Happy birthday and belated birthday to everyone. And again, 110 years, we only wish we could live to 110 plus. Good morning, everyone. Before we start the show, I have some more housekeeping to get to. I think two important notes. In particular, a word to all QC Comets. QC Comets, our dear friend Lakeisha Bostwick. Lakeisha Bostwick, QC class of 92, is requesting blood donations at Doctors Hospital. That's Lakeisha Bostwick requesting donations at Doctors Hospital. Also, another QC Comet requesting donations is yours truly, Erin Green. I'm requesting blood donations at the PHA Blood Bank. I think it's been moved to First Terrace Centerville. I will be off the air for the rest of this week. All goes well. The schedule stays in line. I will be in PMH awaiting and then receiving or going through a couple of procedures. So if you see these two flyers floating around, one for Lakeisha Bostwick, donations to be made at Doctors Hospital, please, please support my good friend Lakeisha Bostwick, sister of Julian Bostwick, sister-in-law of Candace Bostwick, both Lakeisha and Candace members or former members of the National Youth Choir. And of course, if you have time, for myself, Erin Green, but more importantly, please share the flyer as widely as possible. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning. How are you doing, Erin?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I'm okay. I'm good.
A couple of, I see the headline, get C or above in three key subjects. I want to read through that article. I think we're going to talk exam results this morning.
Is 7% good or bad?
That's a very low number. I don't want to hurt 7% esteem, self-esteem, right? But in this context, 7% is a very low number.
So what is a good number?
To get C or above in three key subjects?
Yeah.
A good number?
Yeah, a good number.
We should be aiming for like a minimum of 75%. We need to attack
a high number. That's like an unreasonable number.
That's not an unreasonable number.
You can't jump from 7% to 75%.
You didn't ask me what I want us to get next year. What's a good number for next year? That ain't what you asked me.
What's a good number for next year?
If we could double that to 14% by next year.
14 though?
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping like a good 10. 10% in the core, those three core of what's seen above is good for me.
A year's growth, right? If you're talking to me about what improvement can we achieve in 12 months over one cycle?
Yeah, 3 points.
I'd give you from 10 to 14%.
That's 7 points, though.
Yeah, from 3 to...
It's good to have
three
goals.
To seven.
It's good. Always good to have goals, though.
Absolutely.
I say 10, you say 14.
Yeah. We're going to get into that in a moment. Two quick notices, one from the Ministry of Energy and Transport. License plates with the prefixes DA0001 to DA8199. Those plates are ready for pickup at the location where your payment was made. So if you paid at the Summer Winds Plaza, go to the Summer Winds Plaza for pickup. Same thing for Fort Charlotte or Carmichael Road locations. You pick up where you paid. Feel free to reach out to the Road Traffic Department at roadtraffic@bahamas.gov.bs. That's roadtraffic@bahamas.gov.bs, and that's prefixes DA0001 to 8199. 0001 to 8199 DA. Another quick note. Statement by the Member of Parliament for the Marathon constituency. This was published on Saturday. And it reads, "It has been brought to my attention that there is a photo circulating on social media with my government-issued vehicle parked in a disabled parking space at a business establishment on West Bay Street. I would like to extend an apology to the disabled community over the recent incident whereby my aide had parked in a designated handicap parking spot, which I was not aware of. This was an action that was not only careless, but goes against my values and commitment to ensuring respect for the rights and dignity of all, and particularly the differently abled community. As a Minister of State, before coming into my present portfolio, I had the great honor to represent and advocate for those with disabilities. I understand only too well how access and accommodation can make all the difference in the lives of individuals who depend on such spaces for mobility and independence. Therefore, I wish to make it clear that I maintain strong support, respect, and I am anti-discriminatory to all persons with special needs. I have spoken to my aide and addressed this matter to ensure that greater care is taken in the future to respect spaces meant for the differently abled community. To all those affected, I extend my heartfelt apologies, my focus for society, where everyone, regardless of ability, is treated with the respect they deserve. Thank you for your understanding. Honorable Lisa Ramming, MP, Minister of State for Housing and Urban Renewal."
That's a nice letter.
That's a very nice letter.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate situation.
He ain't gonna do it again.
Well, what I'd like to see, and what I wish I would have read in this letter, are measures or steps that are being put in place or considered, up for consideration, to ensure that it never happens again. And not targeting the particular individual, but that makes it impossible for it to happen, right? Like, what's taking place within the public service?
They know you put coons. But then if you're disabled and you got to wait for the people to move the coon, it's kind of be
you tough. Don't. Why would you need a cone when the parking spot is painted in an entirely different color? The cone is just to prevent belligerent, disrespectful people.
That's them who we working on. You don't park into there, right?
No, I
so
don't.
So those people who park there are
belligerent and disrespectful.
Therefore, you need the coon.
No, you don't. We
you
need
just
to empower.
The coon is for.
No, we need to empower those responsible for enforcement to actually enforce the law.
So
if only we had $25,000 to launch sensitivity training sessions for key stakeholders in the space.
That money you have to go towards funerals and things, and wake and memorial.
Are you telling me that there is a fund to support the funerary services of members of the disabled community when they pass away and their families are unable to provide to them for them a quality burial and interment?
No, I'm saying that you'd move money to bury and memorialize Opie Wilshkin. That's what that money was for. They don't have that access, additional money to do with this thing that you suggested.
Are they, right, they don't have that money.
That money's done. That
anymore.
Money's spent.
Something needs to be done because it appears that the people at the top are unaware of their obligations to follow the law. Furthermore, their obligations to create an environment when people are either compelled or caused to follow the law.
But it's good that the minister mentioned and took it, thought it necessary to write a letter. And I appreciate her for it.
Absolutely. I'm glad that she, that this is an egregious error.
Egregious.
No.
I see you making fun of me. The next thing is, you think her driver will write a letter? Did he learn anything? Is he apologetic?
I'm hoping that he's been directed to consider serving or donating several community hours to support one of our local organizations that advocates or works on behalf of members of the disabled community.
So you say you would like to hear from him?
I mean, or about it, right? Like, we don't need to make a poppy show of him or her, or him, but of them. But it would be nice to know that not only have we recognized the fault, but we're taking steps forward to change the environment so faults like that rarely occur or do not occur anymore. For instance, the driver would then be assigned to the Ministry of State for to Housing and Urban Renewal, right? It would be great to see the aide participate in a project that may be designing a model home for members of the disabled community.
I got a text saying, good morning, Mr. Nuri. I would suggest a monetary donation to one of the associations. But who should pay this monetary donation? The member of parliament who did nothing or the driver? And how much do drivers make?
Right.
Yeah. Should punish, right? or make them accountable.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
But you don't want to make them hurt, though.
Right, exactly. Maybe donating community hours.
Yeah.
That may be a wonderful response. But spearheading or leading a project to design government homes for members of the disabled community, to employ new technology to provide equitable access to quality of life, right, that everybody else, or able-bodied people are enjoying.
I have a text here which suggests that the member of parliament was sitting in the car while it was parked, but she already denies that she was there. So that's the end of that. She was not there, unaware to her. That's what it said, unaware to her. Yeah. But people suggesting that she was in the car.
Yeah, man, we're not going to get into that part right there. Here's the thing. The thing is, do people understand that the authority vested in you does not allow you to break the law? The authority vested in you requires you to uphold the law. And I think we have this word authority messed up a little bit because we think it empowers us to break the law when the authority vested in us requires us or mandates us to uphold the law. So here's a text. Good morning, Aaron. Lisa Ramming wrote a nice letter of apology, but was she fine? If she wasn't the driver, why would she be fine? Right? Like in the law, it's the driver of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And the driver would have to say out loud in the court, my boss directed me to park here.
Would we appreciate a donation from the member of parliament, from the constituency fund?
No.
I mean, the money getting spent?
No.
So, what is she? No?
No.
You
that's not her money to spend like in that way.
It's investing in the community.
No.
Okay, then leave her alone then. Since she wasn't in the car, nor was she driving the car. Because I was trying to get the money.
All I'm saying is the fine goes to the person who is driving the vehicle.
Yeah.
Right? That's that.
Yeah.
I think that the minister should, along with her aide, figure out a way in which they can pay reparations, right? Like, it doesn't have to be all cash. It could be in parts. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Aaron, so you want the driver to get a ticket? That's what happens, Texter. The driver gets a ticket when they break the law. What measure you want to ensure that it doesn't happen again because no measure is fail-proof? I just say enforcement. Good morning, caller.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I disagree with the fact that he should be the one who gets fined. He represents her in that capacity.
What?
He's her driver. He's driving a government vehicle with a license plate that she earned, and he is her agent. So he represents her in all doings in that vehicle. So the vehicle, whoever is responsible for the vehicle, should be charged.
So you agree with me that they're acting... That they acted in an official capacity, therefore,
yes,
the government need to pay.
Of course.
No, not the government. That's me and you, miss. That's me and you.
The government has to pay.
No, that's not what she's saying.
No?
No, I'm saying that the MP is responsible for that.
But he's representing her as the MP, and MP representing us. Therefore, we got to pay.
He was representing her as the Minister of State, not the MP.
Yes, that's her in her capacity as the MP for the Minister of State.
Then let the ministry pay for it.
For any fines that may come as a result of being of that vehicle. staying on the road.
Mm. But it, yeah, okay. But if it's a government car, the government need to pay.
No. Pardon me, ma'am. Sorry. I overspoke you.
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am.
No. I agree halfway with Aaron and halfway with you.
But I appreciate what you're saying. If he is in the performance of his duty, right?
Correct.
Does
Correct.
She bear responsibility?
Correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. But Cecil, you get paid. Every time you say the government, you have to pay.
Well,
let's go to the next caller. Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron, and good morning. What's the other gentleman's name? Sorry.
Boy, they don't know me.
The Honorable Mr. C. A. Newry.
I apologize,
That's
the Honorable
okay.
Mr. C. A. Newry.
Okay. I'm used to the bad
good
treatment.
Good morning to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
I am a disabled person. Okay, I'm listening to the conversation and some of the feedback.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're not fining individual citizens when they park in the disabled park without a decal. I just pulled up to the food store and the security is standing at the door and a vehicle is parked in the disabled spot and they don't have a decal. I understand in an ideal situation, I guess, we would, like Mr. Newry is suggesting, have the ministry or take it out of the urban renewal fund. But I don't agree with that because, like Aaron said, the taxpayers are paying for that. I think, though, the national TV and radio station need to partner with the Disability Council under the Ministry of Social Services and properly educate. And then perhaps road traffic under the guidance of the Honorable Minister can begin to enforce the law with a deadline because it seems as though the private shopping centers and business houses do not wish to take on that responsibility. Now, I noticed some of them are doing it, but then some are not. So there is continuous inconsistency. And that's not what we need. That's why we have this confusion and this disregard for the law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We need police officers to begin doing their job. I think that's where it starts. And then we also need to properly educate people because we, for some reason, as a society, we are still holding on to this belief that a disabled person must be deformed or disfigured. It must be a visible disability. But that's not the case. Okay? And it's not something that an anomaly. No. We just have a variation of disabilities. And I do not believe, because I've heard someone suggest on another talk show that perhaps persons are taking advantage of the disability decal, because when you go to that extent, then you call into question the integrity of the doctor who's providing you with the letter to say that. So, you know, there's a variation, a myriad of things that need to be regarded when we're talking about enforcing the law with regard to the disability decal. It needs to start with education.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to start with the police enforcing the law.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much,
okay.
caller.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning. Good morning, caller. Are you there? Good morning, caller. Oh, boy. We had you guys waiting too long, but I think it was worth the wait. I really appreciate the contribution from a member of the community. Mr. Newry, I'm lead that I had in my notes. I can't find earlier this year where the commission itself said that there had been no prosecution so far for people breaching the or any breaches under the act responsible, right? And I think I wanted to interrogate that more. I really want to sit down with the members of the commission that contributed to that interview to find out, you know, some of the nuances of it. Because what they say is that in the process, violators of the law in terms of you're a business owner, you're responsible for property, and you must ensure that there's so many spaces available or that there are ramps available, that people who have been brought up, they tend to eventually comply with the law before a penalty is attached, right? But absolutely, we need to find out exactly why there have been no prosecutions, because I see tons of breaches all over the place, right? And so I think it's a matter that we're not enforcing the law and we're not capturing all of the breaches as they occur. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Again, the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island residents. It's toll-free. And text line 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. And good morning, Honorable Nui.
Mate, how you doing?
Yeah, you know, there's supposed to be an amendment to the road traffic where it would include, you know, but I'm hoping that since the minister, I can't read what you read, so well, she could quickly push that in Parliament.
Okay, so...
for folks with disability, go ahead.
If you look at top of the hill, Mackey Street Plaza, right? In front of Super Value Food Store, to the right-hand side, immediate right-hand side of the entryway to the food store, there is a disabled parking spot, right?
Yeah, they have disabled parking.
Well, listen, there's a disabled parking spot there. There's one spot, and then next to the spot, there's a spot that has a bunch of lines in it, right?
Yeah.
That spot is for vehicles with motorized wheelchair access ramps.
Right.
And so when you park there, the access ramp would have to be on the right-hand side of the vehicle. That space remains free and clear from any other vehicle. So right. That the ramp could come out of the vehicle and the wheelchair could slide down the ramp. And then when it's time to get back in the vehicle, the person with the wheelchair wheels up to the ramp, puts himself on the ramp, and then the ramp pulls the wheelchair back into the car.
Right.
That's what that spot is for. But what happens is other disabled people say, I park in this spot because this must be a disabled parking spot. So we don't just need education like of the general public. We also need education within the community for people to understand how they could be disabled and still be breaching the law.
Right. That's why I said we also that it's supposed to be an amendment to the road traffic would address all of that. What you're talking about, even in public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an area, and I wrote it down when I was in Tampa. There's a road ramp called a sloop would come down. Well, I don't know if you ever see those buses that have ramps on it that come down for wheelchair safety purpose, and they drop them on that loop, the wheelchair bound person, onto the sidewalk. That is not the case even in our public transportation system, because we don't have public bus transportation. All that supposed to be amended in the road traffic new amendment, but... So I'm hoping that since this is a cry now, that the minister...
There'll be a push for that.
For me, since she said she wanted me to forgive her and everybody, push for that in Parliament before the next election.
I like that, Pumpkin Eater. I like that. That's a positive response. Thank you so much.
All right.
So I'm going to read briefly from this article. Under Act... for disabilities, no one ever prosecuted. 25th of June, 2024, Nassau Tribune. Nalini Bethel, the chairperson of the National Commission for Persons with Disabilities, said no one has ever been prosecuted under the Persons with Disabilities Act, a law passed in 2014 to equalize opportunities for people with disabilities and eliminate discrimination against them. The lack of prosecution shows the law has not been adequately enforced. Aaron Brown, a noted disability rights advocate and NCPD commissioner. She believes the main reason is that many lawyers do not want to represent someone with disabilities. Ms. Bethel told the Tribune that 14 adjustment orders have been issued this year to businesses demanding they comply with the disability law. Such orders are issued when places are inaccessible to people with disabilities. For instance, they may not have wheelchair ramps, railings, accessible parking spots, or appropriate bathrooms. Ms. Bethel said businesses are usually given 90 days to fix violations identified by one of the three NCPD inspectors. Quote, many of our buildings, especially the older buildings, do not meet the code, Ms. Bethel said. The building codes have been changed and modernized so that they do take into consideration the accessibility for disabled persons. So the newer buildings are more in compliance. Some of the older buildings have to be retrofitted. If a business does not comply within an adjustment order with an adjustment order in 90 days, the matter could be sent to the Office of the Attorney General. However, Ms. Bethel said, most businesses usually comply with the orders. Quote, no, nobody has ever been prosecuted under the Act, she said. But we do deal with some complaints. Ms. Bethel said progress has been made concerning the rights of people with disabilities and there is more heightened awareness. Ms. Brown agreed that awareness has increased and progress has been made. However, she said people with disabilities are not fully accommodated in schools, the police station, or even courts. She said finding lawyers to represent people with disabilities or who specialize in the area is a long-standing challenge. Quote, who are you to go to if the law is telling you you must go to this system that has no people who specialize in this, no people who are willing to take on the brunt of trying it, she said. She questioned whether the Office of the Attorney General had done its part trying to hold people and businesses accountable under the law, end of article. So I think that speaks to the powers that the commission has, right, to bring to the attention of the courts that there are breaches. But to what extent are the police issuing tickets and fines for breaches of the Act? Let's go to the text line. Great show as usual. At least we have some good news. Opposed to the killings, the schoolboy passed 10 BGCSE with a good job. So I think the person is saying, we've had a lot of bad news, but these exam results bring some good news and we should celebrate that.
He wants to celebrate individuals and not the 7%.
Yeah, we can get to that in a second because I use bait me and I like how it smells, buddy.
My question is the opposite. It's 7% out of how many percent?
Out of 100.
So when you subtract 100 from 7.
That means 93% didn't.
Carry the 1 because, you know, and that 93% didn't do what?
The LP math. I mean, they did do. Okay, let me finish these texts and then we're going to transition quickly to that subject. Good morning. What about the MPs parking in the Rawson Square area? Is that area now? That's where they park good ideas to die. Oh, no, that's Parliament's. That's Victoria Square. My bad. Okay. Here's a frustrating thing. Mr. Newry, you see the new quote-unquote intersection in front of Margaritaville? And I call it an intersection because somebody put a traffic light right there.
Yeah, to allow traffic to come out of the hotel. That's government. That's town planning. They applied.
I forgot. Sorry, I forgot we were on air. I was saying things to myself that I can't say on air.
I see the whole eyebrow wrinkled.
Right, because what I was about to say is, you know, how frustrating it would be to get a ticket there for running a red light there in mm-hmm. front of the hotel. Mm-hmm. But the police don't enforce running red light ticket anywhere else. But that's not what it was about that area that I wanted to mention. So when you're sitting at the light, if you're westbound on mm-hmm. Bay Street and you're sitting at the light, you look to your left. There's like a courtyard there.
Mm-hmm.
Except, like, you know it's a courtyard because it's tiled. It has tiles on it, right?
That's where the immigrants live.
No, that's where the taxis is parked their car on the tile.
Yeah, but immigrants live inside
there. Yeah, no, but why are cars parking on an area that was tiled? When you tile an area, that's a clear indicator to me that no cars are supposed to park there. How is it that the taxi drivers have been allowed to just consume space?
We need to appreciate when was the hotel. It's no longer a hotel.
But you say people are living there.
It's a housing place for the Chinese workers.
So they don't qualify for tile, is what you're saying?
Well, it's now a waiting area for the taxi drivers instead of them waiting in the sun.
Yeah, I'd like to see the legislation about that. How are you going to turn that into a parking lot for taxis?
It's not a legislation thing. It's a decision thing. The hotel across the
people just make decisions about downtown. I thought downtown is just be. I thought it just is evolve. It just is do whatever it want to do. That's why you see people, like you have people who seem to have been deputized, I don't know by who, to direct traffic in town, right? I'm sitting here begging the police to direct traffic, and you have ordinary citizens directing traffic, telling people to stop their cars so tourists who are 12 feet away from the pedestrian crossing could cross in the middle of the road. Downtown, nobody is direct anything. Downtown does what it wants. It's like capitalism. It's a living thing.
It's a living organism.
It does what it wants. Another text. Education is not the issue. I believe everyone knows they shouldn't park in a disabled parking spot. We just need to enforce and be consistent. These are the same people who won't even think about doing the same thing in the U.S. of A. Good morning, caller.
This Guardian?
It is.
Talk show?
Yes, ma'am.
Could I get on?
You on now.
Huh?
You are on now. We live.
Okay.
Go ahead.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you, ma'am. How you doing?
This is my first time ever on the show.
Well, thank you for calling.
Nice.
Yeah, listen, it's a food store out here. Me and my daughter was parked, you know, because I disabled because of my leg.
Yes, ma'am.
But all the cars was parked in the disabled sign. He had a decor thing hanging up in the car.
Yep.
It was raining hard.
Mm-hmm.
So the security was supposed to be there watching it. Wasn't there. So I hear they calling my daughter license plate number. I say, Kel, that's all I got, license plate number. I went outside. So we see it hanging up there. He said, I'm sorry, I didn't saw it. And you know, you got to tell her, take it up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's frustrating. It is frustrating. Now, let me ask you a question. What if when you come to the spot, there's a car in the spot, when the people come out the car, you could see that maybe they should have a decal, but they don't have a decal.
But I don't know who you drive because I was in the food store. When I come out, the car done gone.
I understand. Yeah, you don't ever get a chance to see.
Huh?
You don't
ever see them driving it, but security should know.
Yes.
Because they supposed to have a cone, you know, there, so you can't park. But when I get there, I didn't look in the car, I just get out of the car, park. You know, but when I'm not in the car, my daughter, she don't park in the disabled sign because, you know, she ain't disabled.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. And I'm going to say for people, if you are driving someone who is disabled, right? And not to you, but to other people, and they don't have a decal, right? And say, you're driving your grandma, you know she's disabled, she just don't have a decal. What you do is you drive up to the front of the store, and you let her out as close to the front door as possible.
Thank you.
And then you go and park in a normal spot.
Thank you.
And when it's time to leave, you go and you bring the car.
So let me ask you a question. How much do they charge if they get you parking in the desert? How much do they charge?
I'm gonna ask Pumpkin Eater, who I'm sure is listening. Pumpkin Eater, can you call in or text in and tell us what the fine is for parking in a disabled parking spot in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you very much. I'm gonna try look that up maybe in the break between shows, Mr. Newry. Mm-hmm. Here's another text. Although I accept her apology, why did she throw her aide under the bus?
What?
That's not good leadership. She could be held accountable seeing that he works for her. We don't have good leaders in this country.
No.
Yeah, let's interrogate that.
Because she'd have parked there. I was asking for her to be fired. That's right. A different level altogether. Go to extreme. Because she can't be a member of parliament and wantonly park there.
Yeah.
It's no excuse. You have to be terminated.
And you can't tell me.
You can't say sorry.
And you can't say as a PLP, I don't see blue.
You can't say sorry.
Like, right? Like, I'm colorblind. I can't see blue in the road. That's not acceptable. But here's the thing.
She can apologize for other people, but she can't apologize for herself.
But here's the thing. You can't necessarily put this on the minister. Once she's out of the car, what is she to do? Now, as she's walking in the door, she turns and she sees that he's parked in the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't immediately tell him, no, King Man, what you dealing with? You trying to get us fired?
She's worried they're fired.
Right, exactly. Then she participates in it. But if he dropped her off at the front door and then he cycle around and she's then it's not her fault.
She can issue us an apology.
Right. And then she what she should do is to show us that justice has been done. That's why I'm saying, and like people have suggested, how can he show this the apology, attrition? Is that the right word?
Attrition.
I say by donating community service hours. Other people say by lobbying and working towards the enactment of legislation, right?
Sensitivity classes.
But, I mean, if he dropped her to the meeting and then he left, he went to the nearest weed shop and he got caught on camera asking in the most polite way, like he wasn't rude, could I have two weeds, please?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets catch. You gonna blame her for that?
Can't blame her for that.
Nah, right. There's only so much liability that she would hold. Now, if the breach occurs again and the boy is still working there, so you can't be taking it seriously because if you were, you would have fired this boy by now. Proper public service speak. You would have requested he be transferred to another ministry or area where a breach like that would be less volatile.
Or he can drive for another minister.
No driving occurs, okay, right? Like, you lose your authority to drive a vehicle.
Okay,
last text, and then we're going to transition. Aaron, they have decals for people who transport passengers. The decal states disabled passengers. And my aunt has one. You can get one. That's great. So for people who are driving other people, right? Your mom's disabled. She don't drive you to drive her. You can get a decal. Thank you very much. Text her. Let's go to the phone line. And then we got some people sending in positive results. I got some results to read. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, everybody, you have to call back.
Yes, sir?
Yeah, so far they're still fine because it's supposed to be an amendment.
Ah.
I was saying earlier on, you should call in.
Okay.
To the Road Traffic Act to amend a policy for this purpose, for only for the cars, for public driving, jeeping driving.
Okay.
That, and also for other big vehicles, what have you.
Okay.
But so far, that haven't come about. If you look at the Disabled Act, you can find it online.
Mm-hmm.
You would see certain amendments supposed to be in place to accommodate these areas, that's including road traffic.
Okay.
So you mentioned a decap. That decap is not a law of policy. That was established by the National Council for Disability. That decap is a cultural way, so I won't get into that right
okay,
now.
So I got you. It's not that's not provided for in law. That's just a decal that people can purchase from the states and use here. I got
right,
you.
It is provided for people who wanted to make a profit from it. That's why I had to close it down.
I got you. Okay.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. In Texas says, did the MPs parking in Rawson Square has been happening for a long time. Yeah, we'd be aware of that. And I have a why with that, too. I have a why with that, too. Right? MPs can't walk. Cabinet ministers can't walk from a parking lot to Rawson Square like everybody else have to walk. Shouldn't there be benches in Rawson Square for people? Like, even if not for the Bahamians, for the tourists?
Well, on the sides, there's designated parking space for
MPs and cabinet ministers.
And cabinet ministers.
On the side, Parliament side, Parliament Street.
There are times when both the cabinet and the Senate are having sessions.
They can't carpool. They don't know how to carpool.
They come from different places.
They can't all meet at one place and then shuttle them down?
One big bus.
Yeah, why not?
I guess it's possible.
I mean, it is extremely possible. And then all the cars would be secured in one spot.
Bahamians just need to protest and be active or be involved. If you see the cars parked there, a simple flyer, simple
protest, take a picture.
Take a picture and let people know you're not happy. And you'll see that there'll be a response. Okay, I'm sorry. I realize that is inconvenient. We ain't doing it no more.
Absolutely. Okay, here we go. Someone sent me a link. The fine is five. Okay, it says the fine is $5,000 according to the Disabilities Act 2014. I just accessed it a moment ago. Now it has an error. So I'll copy and paste this link and take a look at it myself. Thank you very much, text. Another texter says, tow the car. Just tow it, the texter said. Just tow it.
You don't tow members of parliament cars, especially government cars.
Why not?
Because we got to pay for it. That is a government car.
Cabinet minister car we have to pay for. MP car we don't have to pay for.
Who you think would park on Rossin Square? The regular. And then we got to realize that most members of parliament have a secondary job. They are
cabinet ministers and ministers of state.
Yeah.
So another text here says, Aaron, the MP's getting a new building anyhow, so then parking in Rawson Square won't be for long.
See?
I say make them all park their cars at the office of the Prime Minister, that big lot, because Goldwyn thinks that their staff, that Goldwyn thinks that the office of the Prime Minister's parking lot is ideal for parking.
Yeah.
Right? So let's put all of their cars there and shuttle them into town so they got to ride through the traffic. They have to endure, right, the lack of traffic enforcement. They got to sit up in bus under other people's arm for as long as it takes. Yeah, man. A text here says towing would work. Boy, that minister would be so angry at that driver. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe we need to start towing. But then we need to have another discussion about the new legislation that was tabled about towing vehicles, remember? Mm-hmm. We talked about it. I got to pull that up as well. Another text. Aaron, they cuss the security out when he asks the perpetrators to move their vehicle. Yes, they do. I just want everybody to say a collective prayer for security officers. Many of them are still being forced to work outside the law. And when I say being forced to work, what I mean is they need jobs. They got bills to pay. They need to work. And because of their desperation, it appears as if some business owners are taking advantage of them. I want to say good morning to all of the security officers at PMH. They all concierge officers. They all should get a base salary from PHA. They all know where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do. And I almost got upset when the security officer asked me to look at my papers. Because I like, this is my private health information.
National Insurance does that. Their security officers actually do administrative work.
Right. And but then when she saw it and she told me right where I needed to go, I say, man, I only half upset. Because the other half is upset that you have to do this job.
Mm-hmm.
And if you appear to be disgruntled about having to do it, you may not be able to wait there.
No, they send you home. You better open the door because he's a doorman. And then you are concierge to direct people where to go.
Right, and so...
And plus you got to fight if something happens.
And right, and then when you try to tell the people they can't park there, they won't fight you.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Okay, Aaron. I don't like to talk about planes on the tarmac with no logo. I don't know about that. He flew, how the Prime Minister traveled to Santo Domingo. He flew.
Yeah.
In a plane. I don't know which plane. Another text, history. Long Island MP Loretta Butler Turner issued a short statement Wednesday. This is an excerpt.
Mm-hmm. Long time something.
Right. After a photograph published in the Tribune showed a car parked in a Harbor Bay disabled space. Quote, one should lead by example, especially those of us in public life. Waiting in my vehicle in a handicapped reserve parking space was wrong. I broke my rule of not parking or standing in such spaces. And I think she goes on to say, I thank you for bringing it to the public's attention.
So she's waiting in her car in the handicapped
spot. Okay, so watch that. That's called standing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Parking is when you shut the car off, you get out of the car and you leave.
Yeah.
Standing is when you are in the car and the car is stationary, right? And so you see Harbor Bay is redesigning.
Mm-hmm.
I think a part of that is to attempt to moderate drivers' behaviors because people used to just do whatever they want in Harbor Bay. Like you want to see like just madness Like, you want to see, like, when people say, oh, Nassau Village, like, madness. You're going to Harbor Bay parking lot. Mm. They spend all that money to paint the red line on the sidewalk to tell you no parking. And then the people is just in the car and act like I ain't parking because I in the car and the car running.
Yeah.
That's called standing, and that's just as bad as parking.
I think the texter wanted to us to be aware that the F&M did it too.
Oh, you mean they did it and apologized too?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, because then we could say the police, the Corps of Diplomat cars, the corporate vehicles that service very fancy financial establishments, the people who's parked their car not in the disabled spot, but next to the disabled spot, blocking the access ramp for the wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they think they're not doing a bad thing. It's all over the place. We just don't care about other people. We have lost a thing called empathy, where we care about other people. Okay, I had a text here. This is it. My son passed 9 BGCSE, 2 C's, and the rest are A's and B's at Charles W. Sanders High School.
That's big news for Charles W. Sanders High School, too, by the way. I mean, to celebrate. I mean, not saying that the school doesn't get grades like that, but to hear that that there are other schools, other than these elite schools getting these type of grades is something to
Absolutely.
And celebrate.
When you look at the results, 7% get C or above in 3 key subjects, you would just kind of assume, well, that must be St. Andrews, King's College, Life at Key School, whatever, right? These schools.
Yeah.
But no, these grades are spread out across.
Spread across.
These schools.
How much were them? And that's not to say all private schools. Remove, like, the big 3 or the big 4, you know, so SAC, Kingsway, QC, St. John's, St. Anne's. And then leave everything else after that.
2 to 3%.
See, is that a concern? 2 to 3%.
7% is a concern. Telling people that a D is satisfactory should have been concerning us for decades. A D is not satisfactory.
I see. In England, their GCSE results was 95% with A and B. This particular school, and I was wondering. They complain and say it's too low, 95% with A and B. It's too low. And we at 7% with A, B, C.
And we're celebrating the improvement that caused us to achieve the 7%, because that's what we're being told, that there's a slight improvement from, I think, the year before.
And my point is, should we be concerned? Like,
I'm
cool with last year being bad, you know, but every year we should sort of jump like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 spaces up. Right, because we understood what went wrong last year, and you correct it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it can't be, if you got a D last year, it can't be a D plus. It got to jump to a C for sure, right? If it was an E, you can't say we were going to D. You got to jump to C for sure, because we already make it up what went wrong. It's just that it seems like we cannot identify what is wrong here, and we cannot correct it.
Yeah.
Is it that we need to go to the old GCE system, where we select students who could take it, say, hey,
no,
you can't take this national exam no more.
And I will acknowledge,
you
right?
You had a D grade. Stay. Don't take this exam.
We need to acknowledge that in our sort of anecdotal or historical assessment of the grades, that what you perceive as a devolution is a shift in policy, right? Mm-hmm. It's where we allowed everybody to take. I don't think we need to go back to that. We need to start by refusing to say that a D is satisfactory. Let's start right at the root of it. We are literally telling the children that a D is fine.
Would you dare to say that historically, I'm adding GCE now to this current BGCSE, we were always at this grade, because the people who they didn't allow to take these exams, they assumed that they could not get a C, which was the majority of us at that time, pre-1993.
I don't know. I need to do a deeper assessment and think about that one. Mm. But I think we start by getting rid of the rhetoric. The rhetoric is a political rhetoric. A D is satisfactory is only politically expedient. Everybody knows that a D is not satisfactory.
But what is the problem? Like I say, there are times when a class does badly. I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't study. We were ill-prepared. And that's that one class. But next year, it can't be the same thing, because it's a different class now.
Listen, it's 11:02. If we could start your show with the answer to that?
We started, because my guest hasn't indicated that he's here yet, so we'll continue to talk to it until he reaches.
Because there are multiple factors, right? Do you remember the Jamaica Gleaner article saying that the Caribbean can't produce, or remember saying the Caribbean can't produce another Mark Zuckerberg?
Mm.
Or can't produce a Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah, I remember.
Right? I think I'm going to start there.
But mind you, if you, just using Jamaica for example,
yeah.
If you see how many road scholars they produce per year over the past 10, 20 years,
mm-hmm.
So they are producing Mark Zuckerbergs. I don't know if we're doing the same. And when I say not one individual, I'm talking about 20, 50.
A class, a cohort.
Yes.
Right? Because it takes more than one person.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's the end of the show.
You've been on the clock with Aaron Green. I'm going to sit in with Mr. Newry for the next hour. So take this 3 minutes to take a shower. That's if your power has been back on since the great power outage of Thursday, the 15th of August, 2024. It's been a pleasure. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Hey Bahamas, ready for some eye openers? Check out two brand new books by our legendary three-time PM, Hubert Ingraham. Get the tea on his amazing leadership and courage to buck the system. These books are for you, the game changers, movers and shakers, and anyone passionate about our nation's roots and future. Available now at Dungalik Studios, Logos Bookstore, the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and Chapter One Bookstore. Score your copies today. Celebrate our amazing legacy.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.